إنا أنزلنا إليك الكتاب بالحق لتحكم بين الناس بما أراك الله ولا تكن للخائنين خصيما.
O Messenger, we have revealed to you this book with the truth, so that you may judge between people in accordance with what Allah has shown you. So do not dispute on behalf of the dishonest. These and certain other verses which occur a little later on, see verses 113, deal with an important matter related to an incident that took place around the time they were revealed. The incident involved a person called Tu'ma, or Bashir ibn Ubayrik of the Banu Zafar tribe of the Ansar. The man stole an Ansari's coat of mail. While the investigation was in progress, he put the coat of mail in the house of a Jew. Its owner approached the Prophet, peace be upon him, and expressed his suspicion about Tu'ma. But Tu'ma, his kinsmen, and many of the Banu Zafar colluded to ascribe the guilt to the Jew. When the Jew concerned was asked about the matter, he pleaded that he was not guilty. Tuma's supporter, on the other hand, waged a vigorous propaganda campaign to save Tuma's skin. They argued that the wicked Jew who had denied the truth and disbelieved in God and the Prophet, peace be upon him, was absolutely untrustworthy, and his statement ought to be rejected outright. The Prophet, peace be upon him, was about to decide the case against the Jew on formal grounds, and to censure the plaintiff for slandering Banu Ubayrik. But before he could do so, the whole matter was laid bare by a revelation from God. It is obvious that the Prophet, peace be upon him, would have committed no sin if he had given judgment on the evidence before him. Judges are quite often faced with such situations. False evidence is given in order to obtain wrong verdict. The time when this case came up for decision was a time of severe conflict between Islam and unbelief. Had the Prophet, peace be upon him, issued a wrong judgment on the basis of the evidence before him, it would have provided the opponents of Islam with an effective weapon against the Prophet, peace be upon him, as well as against the entire Islamic community and even Islam itself. They could have spread the word that the Prophet, peace be upon him, and his followers were not concerned about right and justice. It would have been claimed that they were guilty of the same prejudice and chauvinism against which they had themselves been preaching. It was specifically to prevent this situation that God intervened in this particular case. In this and the following verses, the Muslims were strongly censured for supporting criminals for no other reason than either family or tribal solidarity, and were told that they would not allow prejudice to interfere with the principle of equal justice for all. Man's instinctive honesty revolts against the idea of supporting one's own kin even when they are wrong and denying others their legitimate rights.
وَاسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
And seek forgiveness from Allah. Surely, Allah is all-forgiving, all-compassionate.
وَلَا تُجَادِلْ عَنِ الَّذِينَ يَخْتَانُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ مَنْ كَانَ خَوَّانًا أَثِيمًا.
Do not plead for those who are dishonest to themselves. Allah does not love him who betrays trust and persists in sin. Whoever commits a breach of trust with others, in fact, commits a breach of trust with his own self first. For the powers of his head and heart have been placed at his disposal as a trust, and by misusing them, he is forcing those powers to support him in acts which involve a breach of trust. In doing so, the person concerned suppresses his conscience, which God has placed as a sentinel over his moral conduct, with the result that is rendered incapable of preventing him from acts of wrong and iniquity. It is only after a man has already carried out this cruel suppression of conscience within himself that he is able to commit acts of sin and iniquity outwardly.
يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ النَّاسِ وَلَا يَسْتَخْفُونَ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَهُوَ مَعَهُمْ إِذْ يُبَيِّتُونَ مَا لَا يَرْضَى مِنَ الْقَوْلِ. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ بِمَا يَعْمَلُونَ مُحِيطًا.
They can hide their deeds from men, but they cannot hide them from Allah, for He is with them even when they hold mighty counsels that are unpleasing to Allah. Allah encompasses all their doings.
هَا أَنْتُمْ هَا أُولَاءِ جَادَلْتُمْ عَنْهُمْ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا فَمَنْ يُجَادِلُ اللَّهَ عَنْهُمْ يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ أَمْ مَنْ يَكُونُ عَلَيْهِمْ وَكِيلًا.
You pleaded on their behalf in this worldly life, but who will plead with Allah on their behalf on the day of resurrection? Or who will be their defender there?
وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ سُوءًا أَوْ يَظْلِمْ نَفْسَهُ ثُمَّ يَسْتَغْفِرِ اللَّهَ يَجِدِ اللَّهَ غَفُورًا رَحِيمًا.
He who does either evil or wrongs himself and then asks for the forgiveness of Allah will find Allah all forgiving, all compassionate.
وَمَن يَكْسِبْ إِثْمًا فَإِنَّمَا يَكْسِبُهُ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ وَكَانَ اللَّهُ عَلِيمًا حَكِيمًا.
He who commits a sin commits it only to his detriment. Surely Allah is all-knowing, all-wise.
وَمَن يَكْسِبْ خَطِيئَةً أَوْ إِثْمًا ثُمَّ يَرْمِ بِهِ بَرِيئًا فَقَدِ احْتَمَلَ بُهْتَانًا وَإِثْمًا مُبِينًا.
But he who commits either a fault or a sin and then casts it upon an innocent person lays upon himself the burden of a false charge and a flagrant sin.